McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and myself. I'm Frankenberry, a show that comes at you every Sunday morning here, 7 o'clock. Thank you for joining us today, and good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Hanging in there. Been kind of a crazy week, but we're doing all right.
Survived the fireworks. Nobody got singed.
No, believe me, I didn't go anywhere for July 4th. All I did was hear the damn things.
Yeah, I'm amazed that for fireworks being illegal in New York, how much of them that you hear.
Yeah, well, are they illegal? I mean, do you see those little? Okay, yeah, because see those little, roadside stands pop up in parking lots.
Yeah, the really good ones are illegal. The not-so-good ones are illegal. It was really interesting. So I went to a very illegal fireworks display, which was actually a lot of fun. But you know what my highlight of the holiday weekend last week was that floating museum, the last World War II Navy ship that's still around, took a journey from Albany, where it sits, to Staten Island for some repairs. So it sailed right by Billboard Beach, and it was very, very exciting.
Wow.
On Sunday. Cool. Yeah, a week ago. I got some good pictures of that and posted on Facebook.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, but it was a little bit behind schedule. So by the time it actually went past my little house, I had stopped looking at the clock and started looking at the level of wine in the wine bottle, and it was pretty low. I'm like a sundial that way, kids. Who needs a clock?
How's the wildlife situation there?
Oh, man, it's bad. It is so bad. I mean, but like so bad it's good, but bad. I still got these little, listen, in my defense, you guys, I know in the past I have accidentally on purpose enticed some wildlife to my deck because I put out bird seed, technically for the birds. But the birds aren't the only ones who enjoy that stuff, and it's kind of fun. Well, I had some friends over the holiday weekend, last weekend, who don't get to see wild animals very much and put some bird seed out at night. And wouldn't you know, I had a whole family of baby raccoons. Four baby raccoons. Babies. So this is funny. So now, I love and I hate that all at the same time, because that's a lot of wildlife to have, on your deck. Well, here's the thing. So we were out on the deck all day on Sunday, waiting for that ship, blah, blah, blah. And I had some old hamburger buns that I was periodically throwing into my yard, which is still electrified by the neighbor's electric fence, to feed the birds. And I didn't go through the entire bag of stale hamburger buns fine. So I closed the bag, and I have some furniture outside, and I slid the hamburger buns into this piece of furniture that had an open side. Well, wouldn't you know, the babies come tooling up after dark for the bird seed, and mom or dad raccoon was with them. All of a sudden, I see this raccoon. Let's assume it was the mom. I see this raccoon. She stops what she's doing, puts her little pointy snout in the air, like, the wind is coming due south. And the next thing I know, she is climbing up on stools on this furniture, finds the closed bag of hamburger buns, feels it, and runs away. Like, it was really amazing. And, before she ran away, she poked a couple holes in the bag. Her babies were like, hey, I want some of that. And she's like, get your own and go. Like, she wasn't going to get Mother of the Year for it. But that's really the kind of thing that's crazy. They're supposed to be, yeah. I mean, oh but God. Dang. It's just nuts. And then, you know, I got a couple of foxes. Yep, they're still around. And then I was getting nervous because I don't, you know, I'm trying to gauge. I don't know anything. Frankenberry's going to know better than the two of us, Carol. But I'm like, are these baby raccoons big enough that the fox will leave them alone? Like, I was ready to referee a fight because I was referee a fight. I wasn't going to let anything happen to them. But I do think they're big enough. To, you know, they're not like, they didn't just, you know, come out of the womb. They're like, you know, a few months old. So okay. I think they could hold their own. And the foxes aren't that big either, to be honest. I mean, like, they all came, they're all in the same class, you know, class of 2020.
Well, you know, I would have to ask if that would be the case, if there would be a concern, but I would imagine that a fox would know better because a raccoon will tear you up.
Oh, will so, they now?
Well, yeah, I mean, those claws of theirs, they're built for climbing and they're pretty sharp.
And they can climb. The way this raccoon navigated this furniture, and when I tell you, like, first I was grossed out because I don't want raccoons falling. I mean, it's happened to me before, yes. But you guys, I have in this piece of furniture, it's like a little deck bar, and stored on this shelf, I had like some solar lights and stuff, and some coasters. Didn't knock a single one of them over, and got the bag. It was like an acrobat. Crazy.
My sister has a kitten at the house, and his name is Arthur. And Arthur, one of his favorite spots, yes, they call him Prince Arthur. And one of his favorite spots is the mantle above the fireplace. And of course, it's a mantle.
Oh, wow.
It's got a bunch of crap on it. But my sister has told me that cat is so good at winding and weaving around that mantle and finding a spot to sit that he hasn't knocked anything over yet.
Well, she's lucky because can't cats be jerks? Like, I've seen videos of them, like, boom, knock it off, knocking that off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they do that all the time. But I guess he doesn't really do that, at least not on the mantle. I don't know about anywhere else. Now, as opposed to when I had my little Blink at the house, you know, Blink's big thing was she didn't like stuff on my nightstand at all. she would hop up there and it was all going, and then she would lay down. So yes, cats are very they're very big fans of knocking stuff over, but yeah, somehow that is not the case with Arthur on the mantle.
But well, now hang on a second. Sorry, Carol, you go.
I was just gonna say, you got lucky that this mama raccoon was on a mission and wanted one thing. Because was it last year or the summer before when they completely, like, ripped all your string lights down, like, destroyed the place?
Right. Remember, that was my first introduction to the raccoons. They had not been by before, and they literally destroyed the place. And it was the same. It was a group of, I call them juvenile raccoons. They were like the babies. Like, you know, thought it was great.
Or juvenile delinquent raccoons, yes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then we sort of, you know, came to a little meeting of the minds, and occasionally I put birdseed out, and they would come and eat it, and then they would go away. And it was fine, you know, and sometimes they'd come up to the sliding glass door like, who are you? But when it comes to the cats, like Frankenberry, I mean, you've had cats for a long time. I have a family member who's got a lot of cats. I think cats can actually be a little vindictive. Like, if they're mad at you, then they can decide to be jerks and knock stuff off counters.
Yeah, that's
right. Am I right, Frankenberry?
No, you are right. You are right. I mean, my Bella, who has never been a fan of Cricket the Blind, though she tolerates her now, every now and then I'll sit on the chair that's next to Bella's window seat, and that's her favorite spot in the house. I'll sit next to the chair, and before I leave, I'll say, I'll see you later, Bella. And every now and then she'll give me a pop. And I know her giving me a pop is her saying, you deserve that. So
your cat smacks you?
Oh yeah, yeah. She'll give sometimes, very rarely. Usually she just wants to grab my hand and, you know, get belly rubs. But every now and then she'll break out that left paw, because I call her Lefty McBell, as she was an Irish boxer.
Oh my God.
And she will give me a pop in the forehead, and I know she's laughing about it. And in her head, this is for the blind one being here, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a message there.
Yeah.
Well, I finally, I hand-fed that deer I was talking about out in Pennsylvania.
You did?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sure the deer. I'm sure the deer was very happy with that.
Yeah, I had some corn. I saw her, and I had some corn that had taken off the corn on the cob, so I went out in the bag and started tossing a few to her. She kept eating it, coming closer, and I just put it on my palm and right out of my hand.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
That I'm sure that was.
Probably, I think they're smart enough to, like, figure out that you're a friend and not a foe. Like, you're going to see that deer again.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think.
And I'm sure somebody else must feed her on a regular basis that she became that domesticated. But, it was cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, as long as she doesn't become too domesticated, because, you know, then she's in trouble in the wild sometimes. I mean, if she's dependent on that food, she's going to have some issues.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That's not fair. Yep.
Yeah, but I don't think she's going to get dependent on a little palm full of corn kernels.
Oh, no.
You know.
And I probably won't do it again. I mean, it was like I did it once. That was cool.
We just sounded like a bunch of like drug addicts. Hey, just that one time.
And then
I won't do it again.
Yeah, and then before you know it, a couple of days later, you got a rubber hose and you're tapping the inside of your arm.
You're going to be heading to the feed store. You're going to have salt licks.
That's right. You know, Craig is going to find the trunk all filled with stuff, and he's going to have a talk with you.
No, honestly, because remember, we had a bear a couple of weeks ago, so I have no interest in leaving any food outside.
Understood.
Not going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of, that situation is not under control, folks.
So, at your mother's house?
At your mom's?
At my mother's, and then I belong to a gun club that is not far from my cousin's house, and the gun club sent us all a screenshot of the security footage that there was a black bear down on one of the gun ranges. So it's like black bear season, and then I get this crazy text from my mother. Now, my mother, just sidebar, when she texts and she's on a rant, like, she doesn't use her thumbs like normal people. She does the talk-to-text thing. But her talk-to-text, she doesn't, like, check it over when she's done. So it requires, it's like learning a new language, you know, and I've come to interpret what her stuff means. Anyway, she went on a rant about how the bear came back. So she had that sighting. I posted that on Facebook. The bear came back and this time got into their garbage because their garbage was out for garbage night or what have you.
Uh-oh.
And she is fit to be, I shouldn't even say this because she's like, if the opportunity arises, that bear is going to take a, you know, bullet in its butt of some sort. Hopefully it won't be a real one, just a BB. But she is upset with this bear, and she's upset with the DEC because, you know, she calls them. They're like, lady, you know, what do you want us to do? And she's basically like, come and get this bear. They're like, that's not our job. So she is just not good. The DEC.
Oh, DEC.
Yeah. So, but they don't, and they've tagged this bear before.
I've seen more posts from other people on Facebook in the Dutchess County area with sightings of black bears, and we never really experienced this much. So I wonder what's going on.
Right? Never. I don't think I've never actually ever, and knock on wood, seen one in life. I've only seen them on video from other people. And now that I've said that, because, you know, I'm kind of secretly hoping that I do.
Right.
But yeah, my mother is fit to die. She's not good with any of that, with any wildlife. That's not good with it at all. Unlike her daughter, which, you know, I would have a house full of squirrels and raccoons. And
yes. I can imagine your mother coming over to my place. She would take one step in the garage and she would turn around like a cartoon character with a little circle of smoke under her butt and she would be gone.
I'm going to have to copy and paste you guys on one of her rants because every time she says the word bear when she's talking to text, it comes out on her text as beer, So she has a whole thing about, I'm going to shoot that beer. That beer. Who can I call about this beer? And it's like, makes it even that much more funny.
Oh, my God. Your mother's a riot.
That is funny.
Absolutely crazy. So, I wanted to ask you, Carol, before we move on to other things, how does Ginger, your dog, everybody knows that you have an adorable little dog named Ginger. What is she, a bull beagle, beagle bull, what do you call her?
Call her a beagle.
Yeah, beagle.
She's three-quarter bulldog and one-quarter beagle.
And how does she do with the fireworks? Like, is she skittish of them?
Thank God they don't bother her in the least, because I know some dogs really get serious anxiety about that. So we spent our fourth out in Pennsylvania on a lake, and I just had no expectations whatsoever what I would see. It was just like, oh, it's 4th of July, right, and blah, blah, blah. And we had fireworks going off all the way around the lake, reflecting in the water. It was like one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. And fireworks are legal in PA, so they were pretty spectacular. And she just snoozed away. It didn't bother her, thank God, because I don't know what I would have done. Yeah, it would have been tough for her. But, yeah, luckily. Are your dogs okay with fireworks?
Like, my dogs aren't the worst. Like, they're kind of okay, but it does make them a little bit uncomfortable. And I noticed Monday, so that was like Saturday, Sunday fireworks. Monday, I was having dinner with my parents, and I dropped the fork on my dish, and poor little Reese was like upside down on the ceiling. Like, what was that? What was that?
Aww.
And it's so bad. But, yeah, so they don't love it, but they don't, they don't love it.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I feel for some people.
Yeah, it doesn't bother my gang. I mean, you know, the three upstairs, not the dogs, but the cats, they had no issues. So
good. Yeah, it is. It can be torturous for some animals. Really,
yeah,
can.
Oh, I feel for some people. Yeah.
And hopefully they're not alone. You know, and a lot of times they will be alone because their owners will be out doing what we were doing, like watching fireworks. So, yeah. Thankfully, it's only once a year. But that's good. I'm glad everybody had a good time. And this is one of those days where we don't have any sort of fantastic or funny Sagu, because we are going to be speaking with, this is a very interesting guest. Now, just for my thought process for our listeners, you know, we've taken several weeks here, and we've always tried to have sort of a theme that was going to help everybody through this whole COVID pandemic. And listen, there have been some twists and turns over the last 3-4 months now that none of us expected how we were going to handle it, what was going to happen to us. And it's, you know, we can come away with a very good appreciation for all the things that we had pre-pandemic and all the things we learned through this pandemic. But so we're going to talk to somebody today. Her name is Iram Gilani, and she's a motivational speaker, and now she is a self-published author. And she is a woman who survived unspeakable physical trauma, unspeakable physical trauma. And she decided to write a book about how you can not only get through that, like, you know, we're sitting here thinking like, oh, crap, I can't go out to eat in a restaurant. I can't sit inside a restaurant. And that really sucks. And sidebar, it does suck. But it don't suck like the things that Iram Gilani has gone through. And if she can come out the other side of the unspeakable tragedies that I'm going to let her tell everybody about, then this is a walk in the park. And that's why I think it was important to have her on as our guest today. So when we come back from the break, we are going to speak to motivational speaker and author Iram Gilani. She is from Pakistan originally, pretty sure she's living here now.
Yeah.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about her new book and a little bit of her life story, and I think she'll be an inspiration to all.
All right, that sounds good. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we will return with our guests. Segment number two is on the way, so stick with us.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And good morning again, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it is time now, segment number two is always where we feature our guest, and it is time now to get to our guest for the morning.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before the break, we have a very, very special guest with us. And we're going to be speaking with public speaker, I guess motivational speaker, and now author Iram Gilani. She has released her new book called Silent No More, An Intimate Portrait of How Trauma Affects Us All. This self-published book by, I guess, Iram, you call yourself a Pakistani-American author, explores the suffering and survival of trauma. And guys and gals, wait till you hear her story. This is some serious trauma and how it affects us and how we can deal with it. Gilani touches upon the tumultuous landscape of trauma as a whole and how social forces shape human behavior across time and culture. Iram Gilani, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Yeah, we are really glad to have you because, like I said, your story, your personal story and your history is, for lack of a better word, jaw-dropping. And if you don't mind, I'd like to jump right in with, you know, giving our listeners a little bit of your history.
Sure, and I'll kind of go ahead and sort of help you understand how the book is structured, which will help understand my story as well. So the book itself, which you have already introduced, is split into three distinct parts. The first few chapters of the book highlights, again, my personal traumas and experience in which I have suffered from abandonment, neglect, isolation, molestation, physical and non-physical abuse, forced marriage, bullying, homelessness, PTSD, and unfortunately, eventually becoming a victim of gunshot, which happened in 2014, that unfortunately shattered my jaw, teeth, and gum. So that was something, that sort of the trauma that I've suffered from personally was the first part of the book, which was needed for me to explain, to be able to talk about the second and third part of the book. So the second part of the book, which is the following chapters after chapter three, focuses on the changes I personally had made to get myself out of the unfortunate circumstances and misery. I show my readers the steps I have taken to make and follow a positive path to self-help and healing. I am pretty much detailing the techniques I've used that helped me, everyday changes I made to myself to go into the recovery. And it was pretty much a template that I'm hoping that others can mend with their own situations and use them as they please. And then the final part of the book, which is the third part of the book, focuses on individuals who want to learn more about trauma and how, and those around them, of course, who are suffering from it, what they can do or how to interact with someone who might be suffering. I'm pretty much offering advice on how to approach those individuals, extend help, provide and continue support them, which honestly in situations like those are most critical and is needed very much so, especially during the recovery process. So that's pretty much how the book is broken into three parts.
Which makes sense. Can you give us a little perspective, like a timeline? Like your bio says that you're born in Pakistan, but you came to the United States as a teenager. So where along this continuum, when did the trauma start, and when were you able to finally say, you know what, I'm going to do something about this?
Great question. Thank you for asking that, because it definitely confuses people because of all these things that I've gone through. So my very first trauma sort of started when I was about 4 to 5 years old, and that was the first trauma of being neglected. And sort of abandoned by my parents. And what I mean by that is pretty much I found out when I was in the age of 4 to 5 years old that the parents that raised me were not my real parents. And my biological parents who lived in the same home with us, I found out, again, that they were my real parents. So that shock, the whole trauma itself was just so shocking and so hurtful. And that pretty much started this trail of getting one trauma after another. So at the age of 4 or 5 was my first trauma. And the very last trauma, which took place with a gunshot wound, happened in 2014 when I was 30 years old. So as of 2020, I'm 36 years old now and still struggling with the physical, recovery of that particular trauma.
You wouldn't know it, but your photos are absolutely beautiful. You're beautiful. Who shot you? Does it give too much away? Can we talk about that? Like, how did it happen that you got shot in the face?
So the shooting incident sort of happened when I was visiting Pakistan in 2014. We sort of left TGI Friday after dinner, and according to the police, it was an attack against someone else, and I sort of was in between that and became a victim of that. But unfortunately, once someone reads my book and see, there's a lot of clues that you can put together and sort of figure out who actually was behind this. I unfortunately cannot, specifically say who did this, but I have my suspicions based on a number of things that I do share in the book. That leads you to believe that the person that I am suspecting, or people that I'm suspecting were behind my shooting, could potentially be behind my shooting. And that also includes the insurance policy that was purchased under my name without my consent or knowledge 3 days prior to my departure to Pakistan. So those are the type of things that really made me feel that people that I'm suspecting were possibly involved. And those were my immediate family members, that makes any.
I have a question for you. You've got to be so proud of yourself for all that you've gone through, which combined is more than any human should. One incident alone is more than any human should have to go through, and it started for you at 4 to 5 years old. But what do you attribute you being able to choose a perspective and response to what you've gone through that will help you heal and put you in a position to help others? What was the impetus for you to do good with so much tragedy?
You know, I will tell you, for me, everything that I've gone through in life, I've seen it as I'm going through this for a bigger purpose that I do not understand. It was out of my comprehension. And that was really the reason why I kept going. I felt that whatever I'm going through, there's a reason behind it, and I had two options. Either I continue to let others abuse me and bring torture towards me and take advantage of who I was as a person, or option two was I rise up and say, no, enough is enough, and I must do something. Because a lot of the people, again, I'm not being any gender specific here, but a lot of people who are being abused, they just get so tired of the shame that others bring on them. You know, they feel they always feel like they're the targeted ones when they are the ones who are actually being abused by the wrong person, you know? And I think those are the kind of things that we have to look forward to and change and say, no, let's help the person who's being abused or who is traumatized, versus trying to bring more shame to them. And that's what I wanted to do by sharing my story, to say, you know, if I just want to, one person who can be inspired by it and say, okay, you know what, enough is enough for me. I'm also going to do something about my situation and look for something more positive. And that's pretty much where my goal was, and inspiration came from that.
That is amazing. And you also, so do you speak to people or coach people or counsel people who have been traumatized? And it doesn't have to be to the extent that you were, you know. People can be traumatized by things that, you know, you might not even think, they're not monumental, but they still can cause monumental pain, if that's coming out correctly.
Absolutely. Again, there's no trauma, small or big. You know, there's really no limit to a trauma. You can pretty much go through something as small or as large as the other person, and the impact could be equally or worse for one person versus the other. So to answer your question, yes, I do. And my focus for now has been younger children, teenagers to younger children to teenagers. And my focus is pretty much to help them see things, make better decisions, provide them the support they need. Sometimes I get their parents involved or their caretakers involved, and just kind of give them the healthy support system they need to become a better human and become a better adult in a way. As far as, coaching or speaking with people who or adults, I do that, but my focus hasn't really focused on the adults more. So I'm more focused on the children, because I feel like once you have a good sort of underlining of the issue that you're trying to help them understand, then they'll make better decisions. So then you don't have to worry about them making wrong decisions one after another for such a long time that it is going too far for them to go backwards to fix those things. So that's really the reason why I try to target younger, not patients, but younger individuals than those who are more adult.
Right, to try to, almost like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And a lot of these traumas do happen when kids are kids. I mean, look at you. It started with you when you were 4 or 5 years old. So, it's not uncommon. I think that's a wonderful place to start.
What would you say to somebody right now who's listening who has experienced trauma to them? What's step one? Where do they begin? They're hurting. They feel like a victim, helpless to change what happened to them. It just wasn't fair. What's the first thing that you would say to somebody to start helping them heal and move forward from their trauma?
You know, the first thing, which I also mention in my book, is to keep hope alive, to know that whatever is happening to you, no matter how bad it is, no matter how often it happens, there's a bigger purpose behind it. So keep hope alive. Know that things will get better. That is the first thing. Once you believe that there is, once you have hope in your heart, once you believe that there's hope for something brighter, things will start to shift. So that is definitely the most common thing I start with. As far as what they can physically do, I would say do as I did. Stay away from anything and everyone that is the cause of your pain. You know, try to distance yourself, you know, become better. You know, if you don't have anyone, any friends, any family members, like I unfortunately did not, that understood my pain and understood my struggles, rely on yourself and do things to keep yourself going. Again, I made very small changes, again, which are available for you to read, of course, you know, and pick and choose as you please. But I made very, very small changes. I did not go out and spend thousands of dollars. No offense to anyone who can, of course, but I did not have that kind of money, nor did I go out and spend thousands of dollars on professional therapies and stuff. I didn't have that opportunity, even if I was able to do so. And, you know, so just be your own advocate. Do know the right from wrong. Try to figure out what is causing you the pain, what is causing you sort of the obstacles that's stopping you from moving forward, and avoid them. You know, instead of being with that person who's constantly bringing you this kind of tension, be around people who are willing to support you and understand you. And I think that's a very good start. And then once you start to make these small positive changes, you'll see that your life will start to shift slowly one day at a time into something much more valuable.
I love so much about what you just said. And one of the things I love most about what you just said is I think people who've experienced trauma feel so desperately hopeless because they wish for the impossible, right? They wish that what happened didn't. And that's impossible. And you feel very helpless and hopeless when you take that perspective. And, like, you feel overwhelmed. I can't do anything about it. The fact that you said do something small, don't take on trying to undo what happened. Take the next small step. Putting good people around you, avoiding people in situations that stress you out or make you feel shameful. Take little steps, because repeated little steps changed your life.
Absolutely. It sure did. And the other thing, Ira, I think just to even bring this home, is that we're all, and you too, we're all in this pandemic situation. We've all been suffering on one level or another for the last 4 months. And I got to be honest with you, even my co-host will probably be surprised by this, but there have been times over the last 4 months that I have felt completely hopeless, frustrated, sad, to levels that over the course of my life, I've not felt before, because this was something new and different for all of us. And I had to really kind of dig deep and slap myself in the face and say, what am I doing? It's never, never hopeless. And I love that is going to be a key message in your book, which I am going to buy as soon as we get off the air, because I love that. If you have hope, you have, you're 90% there, I think. Oh, and sorry for interrupting. I just want to say my book is actually not up for purchase. You can just download the ebook or audiobook for free. It's absolutely free. I'm not asking for any personal information. I'm not asking for credit card details. I'm not asking for anything whatsoever in return. I'm simply asking people to read and share and help and understand and communicate. That's really the message I'm trying to spread. Because one thing I struggled with my entire life, until about 2 years ago when I started to really go forward with this book, was the fact that I felt that I was all alone in so many ways. And I just want others who may feel the same on either side of the spectrum. Again, there are people who are so willing to help, but they just have no idea what to do. And then there are people that so desperately need help, but they have no idea how to approach others. So, you know, from that perspective, it's just my way of saying, please, here it is, you know, basic stuff, read about it. And maybe even one part of the book clicks with you that you can take and go. That's pretty much all I'm looking for you to make a difference in somebody's life or your own.
That is incredible. I knew that your bio said that you were giving the ebook away for free. I just assumed that the ebook was free, but there was, you know, hardcover that wasn't. I mean, a lot of Carol's in the publishing business. She knows how that goes. That is incredible. So there's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse for somebody to not get your book.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, so ebook and audiobook is 100% free. The hardcover, I do have it listed for $10, but it is actually not available as because of the pandemic. It's stuck overseas with the printing. So anyway, so yeah, you know, in the meantime, you can listen to the book or you can read the ebook, and it is for you there, available at your convenience.
Awesome.
I can't wait.
Well, sure, it speaks to your intention. You don't want to use this to profit. You want to use this for good. And if there's anything that we can ask for when we've gone through something difficult, and we all have, they just come in different shapes and sizes and timing and volume. But the best you can ever ask for is that you can have a positive impact as a result of what you've gone through. And you got to start asking yourself those questions. What good can I create? What good can I do? How can I improve the life of someone else for what I went through? And you're a living testament to that.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words.
Hiram, we are going to wrap up. But if people want to learn about you, if they want to coach with you, if they want to connect with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
So I am available online on my website, iramgilani.com. That's iramgilani.com. And I do these sessions for absolutely free. So if there's anyone who wants to just talk and contact me, you can email me directly at contact@iramgilani.com, or you can just go into my website and fill out the form there and email me that way, and I will try my best to fit you in my schedule and speak with you. Again, sometimes you just need an ear, and I am here for whoever needs me to just listen and provide any help I can. I know.
That is amazing. Yeah. And you're also all over social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Hiram Gilani 2020. It has been a pleasure speaking with you. We really wish you the best.
Thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, thank you very much for the time spent. And this is Happy Hour with Jonas Bilbor and Carol Pesci. And we are not done yet this morning. We still have segment number 3 on the way. So hang with us. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour this morning here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Almost there. Almost there. Oh, that is some funny stuff.
Carol and I are going to record this show with you with out on my deck, like we alluded to last time, with a glass of wine. So at least we'll be able to get the hello Frankenberry good.
You're going to have to clean up the fox poop first.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll probably join us. I know, right? It's crazy. It comes out of nowhere. But I am so, I still have like goosebumps from speaking with Hiram. Just her generous heart. She just offered her services, her book for free
to people who want to connect with her, which is, I just love that. I love that. Great timing. Really appreciative.
Man, if somebody can go through what she's gone through and come out a survivor and someone who's helping others, she's somebody to pay attention to and listen to. Wow.
Yep, absolutely. So I'm glad we connected with her.
Yeah,
me too. And in the meanwhile, if we're going to switch gears, because I know we only have a few minutes left, I'll warn you guys to make sure you check your Facebook in the upcoming week, because I decided to do... Has anybody done any redecorating during this little lockdown period? Have you been inspired to do anything like that out of, you know, sheer boredom
or anything? painted our whole house.
Yeah, that's right. Carol painted
you
an
did?
Entire house.
If that counts.
Yeah, that counts.
Let's see. Did I do anything? I threw all my laundry on the futon on Saturday. and I haven't folded it yet.
Oh, rebel. Such a bachelor you, Frankenberry.
That I is. No, I've done no redecorating, though I have swept on occasion.
No redecorating.
Yes.
Why do you ask?
Oh, good. Good. Well, because I got inspired. I don't know what came over me, but I've been a little bit bored. When you're in the same surroundings for a lot, you know, I guess that's natural. So I decided that I wanted to just, nothing big, like redo the motif in my bedroom, in my little love shack. And I decided that I wanted it to look like I was walking into Tiffany's. So right? That's what I figured. But it hasn't all arrived yet. So I bought Tiffany blue sheets, and I bought like a... Because to me, Tiffany's is silver, blue, and black, right? That's what it is. So I bought it like a
and
silver...
And white, white ribbons, yeah.
Yep. I bought silver spread, a silver kind of like rug, the Tiffany blue sheets. What else? I can't remember. But anyway, so that's...
You know you need to buy a framed poster of the movie, right? Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I definitely do. And I have some Tiffany artwork in my house, not in my bedroom. So I can't wait for that, because that's just going to, like, freshen it up without having to do anything major. And I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm planning to post pics of it. Hopefully it comes out good on Facebook. But then I said to myself, and maybe you guys can give me your opinion on it. I'm like, is it, like, weird to post pictures of your bedroom on Facebook? Like, are people going to be like, oh, what? Like, what do you think? I don't know if it's something I should do or not do. But I'm excited over this Tiffany blue sheet.
I think people love to see transformations of spaces. Well, that's why, you know, those shows are so popular. And I think that your followers appreciate you and are curious to feel like an insider in your life. So I think that people would mostly love to see that.
Yeah, and I think if it you know, if you don't overdo it with the pictures, I think you'd be fine. You know, a couple of pictures I'm sure would give people the idea, you know, and then you just write around them.
Are you putting a Christmas chandelier in there, Jonna, or do you have a ceiling fan?
No, so I have an ugly ceiling fan that is in no way, shape, or form at all Tiffany-ish. So that'll be the next thing. This was just like a quick little, you know, change the bedspread, and all of a sudden you're in a transformed room. But yeah, that needs to happen next.
Well, it is certainly it is certainly something to look forward to. You've given yourself a bit of a carrot, so there you go.
Yeah, and then maybe some candles. It'll be nice. Just a little change. Because I've spent more time at my little love shack in the last 4 months than I have in the last year.
I think, you know, that's actually, all joking aside, I think that you can, changing up your space, even just by moving things around, rearranging, maybe even a little bit of paint, which is not expensive, I think can totally boost your frame of mind and your mood. And I think that's a wonderful thing if somebody's looking for something for a pick-me-up to do a little bit of that.
Yeah, I second that. You're absolutely right. Frankenberry, fold your clothes when you get home tonight.
Well, you know what? I started by at least taking my T-shirts and throwing them on the back of the futon, spread out T-shirt-like. Okay,
hey, little steps.
Yeah, little steps. That's a baby laundry steps. That's what I'm doing right now. So anyway... We have been listening, or you have been, excuse me, listening to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we thank you for joining us, and we will be back again next Sunday, same time, 7 o'clock. Be safe until then.
This is K104. You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.